It's good to be here. It's good here to be here preaching, and it's good to be preaching on baptism because that's what we're going to be talking about today. Yeah, Pete says, "Oh, there's only four verses. Something must be wrong, or the service is going to be, or the message is going to be really short." It's like I try, I really do, and but we'll see how it goes. We're just going to go as the Lord leads, and we're going to have baptism after the message. Patty will do a couple songs while we're getting ready, and then we'll do a song after. We're all done too. Maybe it just depends on how long it takes for us to get ready. Maybe we'll do one in the front and then two afterwards. We'll just see how it goes. But yeah, it's a blessing to be here today, and thank you for all coming. I think of my baptism and how that all came about. It was a special time, and I'm thinking probably every one of you are going through your baptism. Dennis was even speaking about that when he was coming back, and Thomas was back there, and Dennis is explaining all these memories just coming right back to this very place of where your baptism is, whether it was here, whether it was out in a river, or in a swimming pool, or wherever it might have been. There was water, and there was a great rejoicing during that time. Today's message is we're going to be looking at some baptisms in Scripture and to see what we can deduce a little bit about baptism. It's not a difficult concept, but there seems to be some consistencies in Scripture with baptism, and I want to go over those with you. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, it is a special time when we're talking about baptism. It's personal, and yet it's family at the same time. There's special events that have happened in your baptism, in Christ's baptism. And there's a special time that special events has happened with each and every one of us. And today we have three individuals coming forward for their baptism. As we look at Scripture today, Lord, I just pray that we can see what it is that you need us to see. That the Holy Spirit guides our thoughts, guides our hearts, guides our consciousness, and guides our spirit to receive everything that it is that you have for us today. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have church. Without the Holy Spirit, we're not going to have baptism. Without the Holy Spirit, we're not going to understand Scripture. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have hope. But you provide that for us, Lord. You've made a way. We've already talked about it during communion. And we've come here just to glorify you and to lift you up on high. To recognize you, what you've done, and how our lives have changed because of that. Let your words in Scripture just be beautiful today, Lord. And this I pray. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The first scripture we're going to be looking at is going to be about an Ethiopian. And all of our scriptures are going to be in the book of Acts. I chose Acts in particular because the whole book of Acts is all about the movement of the Holy Spirit. And it begins basically when Christ is saying, wait here, don't go anywhere, is because I have a gift for you, and that gift is going to be the Holy Spirit. Second chapter, the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost and is laid down, and people are just struck by the Holy Spirit. There is a time where the people that were witnessing all the disciples and how their event that had gone through in chapter 2, they were saying, thinking they were drunken, but Peter speaks up and says this isn't so, but they've been touched by the Holy Spirit, and everybody around says, what should we do? What should we do with all this that we have that's been given to us? And Peter says, repent and be baptized. Thousands entered the church, days following and stuff. It was kind of a crazy thought probably to have three people baptized at once back in the early church. It was just hundreds of people that came and accepted God's word. And it seems to, have slowed down, but the moment that that happens, it's just as powerful, whether there's one baptism or hundreds. And I like the small churches because it tends to be the sense of family and gathering, and it's so neat. So our first message the scripture that we have is going to be in Acts 8, verse 26 through 40. And I'd like to read that one through. The other ones we're going to read, I'll speak a little bit about the events that are happening, and there's just a couple of scriptures that go with it. And it begins this way here. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in the towns until he reached Caesarea. Now, I don't know about you, but this is my favorite story of baptism. It really is. And I like it because here we have an individual that's not even Jewish. He's from Ethiopia, right? He's a guy of great wealth. And he came to Jerusalem to worship, to find out about this God, and not just get some information, but to actually worship him. He chose to travel great distances to, and who knows, you know, and to put his train of individuals that were, you know, working with a cart, and I'm sure he had a huge procession with him, and many belongings and whatnot. I'm not sure how they traveled back then, but I'm assuming a person of great wealth traveled with great wealth. Came all the way up to Jerusalem. And then on the way back, he has some scripture that he's reading, and he doesn't understand it. And I feel sad in a way, and it's almost like he came to Jerusalem, but didn't get to understand God. So here he is on the way back, reading some scripture on his own. But the Spirit intercedes and gets this disciple, Philip, to be obedient to go down this desert road. Right? What's down this road? But nothing but, you know, gravel and stones. And it sounds like he's just walking. Just go. That's all you need to do is go. And while he's there, he sees this chariot. And he hears the words of Scripture being read. And he knows he needs to go to talk to this person just because of the leading of the Spirit. And because of his obedience to God, he gets invited into the chariot. Now, a man of great wealth isn't going to just invite anybody into his chariot. There might be only those that are closest to him. Maybe it's just him in this chariot. And Philip gets to explain to this Ethiopian the whole gospel. And I like how he starts. He starts right where the eunuch is. He doesn't give him a whole procession of, you know, Jewish culture and that you've got to be circumcised, that you've got to, you know, do so many sacrifices and offerings and you've got to go before the temple. He takes him right where he's at. And he uses the very questions that he has. Who's this person that Scripture's talking about? Is it some man or is it someone else? It's someone else. It's Jesus that the Scripture's referring to. And let me tell you about this man, Jesus. He was born from a virgin, right? And it was Herod wanted to kill him. And probably those stories permeated all of Israel and everything. And, you know, the surrounding countries knew of those particular stories. And so things that the Ethiopian might have heard a long time ago probably are starting to come into sequence of the events that were happening there. And all of it becomes more and more true, more and more clear in terms of what really was happening. Philip then, he explains the gospel, explains that even Jesus himself was baptized. And can you imagine this eunuch that all of a sudden says, look, there's some water over there. What's stopping me from being baptized right now? What's stopping me? There's nothing. Because this Ethiopian was looking to worship God and found that he could worship God and did worship God. And accepted God as his Savior in that chariot. Right? It's probably stories you can go back and you have your testimonies and your testimony is so different from somebody else's. But who here had accepted Christ in a chariot on a desert road? Probably no one here, right? And everybody is unique and everybody has their connection that comes to God their way. In a very, very special and personal way. Inside that chariot where we have the Ethiopian and we have Philip, probably no one else. No one else to be able to see that particular acceptance of the Lord. But it was the right thing to do for the Ethiopian to say, look, there's water outside the chariot. With my whole train of individuals that have come with me, that they are going to experience what's happened to me. And they're going to see that I have accepted the Lord and I'm not embarrassed about it. So what happened inside that chariot has now been taken outside the chariot. Now, how many trees are there in the desert? Probably not many. There might be some shepherds traveling on the side. There might be some other people on the road going from wherever the Ethiopian is going, probably back to his Ethiopia, I'm assuming, and to Jerusalem. And that's probably a well-traveled path. Anybody that's going to be going on. You've seen stuff like that. My son complains about the drivers down in North Carolina because whenever there's a car pulled over, or there's an accident. You know, there's plenty of lanes in which to go through, but there gets to be a traffic jam because everybody has to stop and see what's going on over there. They're curious. And there might be some travelers that are curious about it. Do you think the Ethiopian was concerned about those curious bystanders? Not in the least. That wasn't in his mind. What was in his mind was one word, and it was yes. I say that because that is the conviction I believe that people get when they accept the Lord. And they say, yes, to their Lord. As simple as that. And I really like this scripture because to me, it really lays out how it's all done. You need to be told the gospel. You need to have a hunger for it and you want to know what it's all about. And then you accept the gospel as your truth. I use the term absolute truth. And it becomes everything. You don't question what's in Scripture because you've made a choice. My friend Sherry Tebow, every Bible study, isn't that true? It's all about choice. It's all about choice. And it truly is. God is not going to dictate you to do anything. He's honored when you choose to say yes. So in this Scripture here, can you imagine the testimony continues? Yeah, I was down in the water, I was baptized, and I just happened to blink, and Philip was like gone. I was like, where'd this guy go? It's a desert, right? No trees. He's gone. Truly, God works in mysterious ways that you don't know and how it's going to happen. There are times even in Scripture where people are baptized, and you know the Lord comes down on top of them, and they start speaking in tongues. Right? Is that a qualification to know if you're baptized or not? No. But you may be moved that particular way. Let's go to another scripture here where Paul, at the time was called Saul, because he hadn't really, he was Jewish and he was persecuting the church. On his way to Damascus, on the road to Damascus, funny how things happen on the road, right? When you're traveling and experiencing things. All right, God spoke to him, and in this time, God spoke to him that he was persecuting him. Paul asked, who are you? He says, I am Jesus. Jesus, you know, replied that way. Paul got some, went blind, scales on his eyes and stuff like that, and he was nursed into Damascus. And then God speaks to this believer, Ananias. And God says, go to Saul and tell him that what he needs to do. Lay your hands on him. Basically, allow the Holy Spirit to touch him. And he does. And Saul's a little, Ananias is kind of anxious about doing that particular thing. But if we go to Acts 9, 17 through 9, it says this here. And then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul. Now, why does he call him brother?
Because he got saved when he got from that.
Yeah.
The light came upon
you. Don't call just anybody brother in Scripture. If you're a brother, you are a believer. So, he says, Brother or believer Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, immediately something like scales fell off Saul's eyes and he could see again. Wow, pretty amazing story. I didn't finish the verse though. Because when I finished that, it says, he got up and was baptized. The answer was yes. That he came up and all of this, that he was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength because he wasn't eating in this whole time that he had lost his vision. But he was spending time in prayer and being encouraged by some of the other disciples that were around him. Talk about a testimony. That testimony is repeated at least two more times in Scripture. As Paul is speaking to some kings and some other individuals, or the other believers and stuff. Pretty phenomenal how that happens. But his response to accepting Christ and understanding who Christ really is yes, be baptized. And it happens right then and there. We look in Acts 10, we go to another story of Cornelius, who is a Gentile person. Yes, he seems to have a heart for the Lord. He seems to help people out. He prays for people. He prays to the Lord. He gives to the poor and to the needy. And God sees everything that you do. He's asked to go get Peter, who's off in some, you know, another place there. Send some individuals over there. Peter, who is having this dream about the sheets coming down and taking all this unclean food and being told to eat it, he says he won't do it. But Peter realizes that God was telling him something. So Peter goes with these men back to Cornelius' place, and he says, "What am I here for?" Cornelius says and tells him about, you know, the vision that he had of the angels that came to visit him, and said that you've got something for me. And Peter knew right then and there, I've got the gospel for you. He talked to Cornelius and all of his household and spent some time there. And we look at this in Acts 10, 44 to 48, and it says this, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message, Gentiles included. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even to the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, 'Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water.' And they received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days." Can you imagine that testimony happening? Not just of the individuals being baptized, but those that are witnessing all of this. God is moving in a powerful way. An unbelievable powerful way. The last scripture I've got is Acts 16. And that's about a woman, Lydia, who is worshiping. It's Paul that happens to come out into a particular area. And they want to go on their Sabbath day and go worship. Well, they end up meeting some women. And let's read about this here in verse 13 through 16. It says, "On the Sabbath, we went outside the city, the gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there."
Is it chapter
15? 16? 16. Verse 13. I do that. I mix things up, so maybe I did that. Probably. I'll take the blame for that one again. All right, here we go. "We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira." I don't know how you say that. Thyatira? Yeah.
Thyatira.
Named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message." What do you think that response was? Yes. The response was yes. And when she and the members of her house, when she and her members of the household were baptized, she invited us to their home. She said, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. The point is that she was not afraid to open up her heart, her belongings, her things to anyone that came along because of what happened to her. Because she heard the gospel, she opened up her heart. The response to that was yes, and she and her household was baptized. It's kind of a neat example. Even baptism is speaking. Sometimes when we talk about the great flood, how the world was covered with water, except there was a boat, right? It was through the waters that these were saved. And we look at that situation that Scripture also talks about being cleansed. The world was cleansed of the evil that was around, of all the people. That every inclination of every man on earth before the flood was evil. Crazy. And clean, and it was clean through, with water. And we look at this aspect too in baptism very much the same. And we can use that baptism as an example of being cleansed. The scripture says that we will be whiter than snow by accepting the Lord. That when we go into baptism, this particular church here, we believe in the full immersion. That we are buried with Christ and raised with Christ in with new life. And all of us really to glorify God. That the three individuals coming here today for baptism will undergo that symbolic gesture in front of all of you folks here. Okay? Because their response is yes. I think it's special. Baptism is a phenomenal experience. Mine, I had such a, just a second, I might have a huge longing to be baptized and baptized and baptized. I even asked Hope if she would baptize me. And she said, no, I can't do that. But it's like, you know, it was neat. I was through the Father Church that I was baptized. As soon as I was baptized, that longing to be baptized was completely gone. I felt at peace. And I knew that God's Spirit rested up on me. And then He was there before, but there's some more completion that went with that. And it was for me, that's very, very, very special that went on. Patty.
I couldn't help but think of also.
And now we get to live life. And really, truly live, and which is really, really special. Yeah, you're right. It's very, very true. It goes along with that. I'm going to end here, but we're going to go on back, and I'm going to get our three individuals for baptism. We have Gavin, who we'll have first, and then we're going to have Thomas go second. We're going to have Sally go third, and we'll have Patty sing a song, at least one song. See if we all get ready here. By the time we get ready, let me just close with prayer here before we get going. Father, I do thank you for your word. I thank you, as Patty was saying, you're kind of like your direct word, where it seems very descriptive, but yet it's also a spiritual message that's inside that too. You are a phenomenal God. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak about baptism. More importantly, we have to actually get to perform baptism. I thank you for that, Lord, and just be with the rest of the service that we've got here. And this I pray through Christ the Lord. Amen. All right, I'm going to get our...